This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of March 31st, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad cop.
No donut.
Bad.
Cop.
No. Donut.
It's under the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Stay tuned after this week's headlines for an interview with Chris Ford of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, who will tell us about an upcoming taser study at the University of Wisconsin, which involves giving cocaine to pigs and then shocking them with a device 30 times more powerful than the tasers used by police departments across North America. But first, let's take a look at what the police did to us this week. A 9-month-old baby is in critical condition after being shaken violently by her father, who is a Licking County, Ohio sheriff's deputy. According to a WBNS report, Deputy Dustin Burden was napping with the child when the child began to cry, waking the deputy, who flew into a rage, shaking the baby until its body went limp. Rather than calling 911, Burden called a relative, who then called for emergency help. Doctors at the hospital where the child is being treated discovered old injuries, including a fractured arm. Police say that the deputy has admitted to abusing his daughter on 2 prior occasions. Burden was charged with felony assault and endangering a child and is currently free on a $100,000 bond.
Well, I always have mixed feelings when we arrest a police officer. On the one hand, it's sad to see a fellow officer arrested or charged with something like this. But on the other hand, I think it's important for the community to know that we can police our own.
A 26-year police veteran in San Antonio, Texas, has been charged with fondling a 9-year-old girl. According to KSAT, Officer Joe Regalado was arrested while he was on duty on Saturday after his victim made a statement to a school counselor about the incident. The 9-year-old victim is a friend of the officer's family and said that the incident took place in the officer's home last week. Regalado has been suspended from duty 3 times in the past, twice for improper conduct. He has also received several written reprimands. The officer is currently on administrative leave after being charged Monday with indecency with a child. The chief of police in West Homestead, Pennsylvania, charged a few weeks ago with having sex with a 14-year-old, was released from federal custody on Tuesday on a $10,000 bond. According to WPXI, Chief David Osborne was accused of having sex with a 14-year-old girl in his police car and at his home, and then discussing the encounters with her in an email correspondence. He has been released into the custody of his father and brother and ordered not to consume alcohol, possess or make use of a computer, or have any contact with minors. At the detention hearing, the prosecutor told the judge that Osborne had admitted during his time in custody to having sex with a second victim under the age of 16 2 years ago. Osborne resigned after an investigation into the first incident began. A police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was fired last Friday after he was accused of sexually touching a woman he met when responding to a domestic violence call. A report from WCCO claims that Officer Justin St. Jean was on duty last year when he kissed and touched a woman who had called police for help. Police described the woman as a vulnerable adult. St. Jean was named Officer of the Year in 1998. The officer has 20 days to appeal his termination. He is the 6th Minneapolis police officer to be fired in the past year. A police officer in Clarksville, Indiana, who is facing 2 child molestation charges, was placed on unpaid suspension this week. According to the Jeffersonville Evening News, the officer, Mike Otto Jr., has been on paid leave since the allegation was made that he molested a child 10 years ago. Police say that a polygraph test supports the victim's story. Otto cannot be fired until the charges have gone through the court system. A police officer in Waterford, New Jersey, has pleaded guilty to administrative charges in connection with a sex-on-duty investigation. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, last week Sergeant Richard Bach became the first Waterford officer to plead guilty to charges, which have affected almost 1/3 of the town's 23 police officers. He will be suspended without pay for 120 days. Bach admitted to having a woman in his patrol car while he was on duty and then falsifying records to cover up the activity. A police officer in Houston, Texas, is under investigation this week after being accused of downloading naked photographs of a woman who he had arrested on suspicion of impaired driving last November. The Associated Press says that the investigation is looking at reports that the officer, Christopher Green, found the photos on the woman's cell phone after arresting her, downloaded them, and showed them around the courthouse. Green has been reassigned to desk duty while the investigation continues. His partner, George Miller, has also been reassigned because he allegedly called the woman's house and asked her out after the arrest. An autistic 17-year-old in Mountain Gate, California, was beaten by three sheriff's deputies last Friday. According to the San Jose Mercury News, the deputies mistook the boy for a prowler. The teen was beaten with batons, pepper sprayed, and tasered when he did not respond to the commands of the deputies. The teen suffered a broken elbow and a head wound in the attack. The boy, who requires constant supervision, slipped out of the house without the knowledge of his mother, who did not realize that her son was not at home until sheriff's deputies came to her door. His mother said that the deputies did not know her son was autistic until she told them. A police officer in Clute, Texas, was arrested last Friday afternoon at a police station while he was on duty. According to a report in The Facts newspaper, Officer Brian Burkhalter is suspected of stealing cocaine from the police evidence locker. He's been charged with tampering with physical evidence and was immediately fired from his job. The officer was videotaped breaking into a police department locker and removing items from it on February 26th. The evidence locker was apparently not very secure, as a prisoner had managed to steal cocaine from it last November. It has recently been reinforced with a second lock. If convicted, the officer faces 10 years in prison. A police officer in Detroit was convicted on Monday of being part of a ring that stole cocaine from a police evidence room. The Associated Press reports that Officer Donald Hines was convicted of conspiracy to distribute cocaine, conspiracy to steal, embezzle, and convert police property, embezzling and converting police property, conspiracy to launder money, and making false declarations to a grand jury. Hines was accused, along with a civilian employee of the department, of stealing almost 80 kilos of cocaine worth over $800,000 from a police evidence room over a five-year period ending in 2000. Sentencing will take place on July 19th. A sheriff's deputy in Lake City, Florida, accidentally shot himself and another officer this week. According to WKMG, Deputy Jason Williams discharged his Glock handgun during a training exercise, injuring himself in the hand and another officer in the leg. Neither injury was serious, and an investigation of the incident is underway. The chief of police in Syracuse, New York, resigned on Monday after being charged with drunk driving. The Associated Press says that New York State Police arrested Chief Stephen Thompson on Sunday after he grazed a pedestrian with his car while driving under the influence of alcohol. He stayed at the scene of the accident but refused a breathalyzer test when asked to take one. Thompson had been with the Syracuse Police Department since 1972. An off-duty NYPD detective was charged last Friday in connection with a drunk driving incident on Staten Island last October. According to an account in the New York Daily News, Officer Daniel Massanova had just come from purchasing narcotics, including amphetamine and oxycodone, when his vehicle pulled into oncoming traffic, crashing into another car, which burst into flames. Two women were rescued from the other vehicle, and both suffered multiple broken bones. Massanova is now charged with felony assault, felony vehicular assault, reckless endangerment, impaired driving, and drug possession. A New York City police officer has been indicted in connection with a string of four drunken accidents which injured seven people over a 45-minute period in December 2004. Newsday reports that the officer, Earl Jones, was involved in three accidents before finally coming to a stop at an intersection where he hit a pedestrian and four cars which were stopped at a red light. Jones has been charged with two counts of assault, vehicular assault, reckless endangerment, two counts of driving while intoxicated, and three counts of leaving the scene of an accident. The officer has been suspended and is expected to be arraigned in April. Two police officers in East Rochester, New York, have been accused in a lawsuit filed this week of excessive use of force in two separate incidents. According to the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, two women have accused two officers, Richard Cranston and William Connell, of excessive use of force, using foul language, and violating their civil rights. In one incident, a woman claims that she was assaulted by Connell in February after she called police for help with an ex-boyfriend who was drunk and harassing her. The woman claims that Connell verbally and physically abused her after letting her ex-boyfriend go. She also says that a stun gun was used on her by the officer without provocation. Another woman claims that she was leaving a local bar to have a cigarette outside when she was tackled, slammed to the ground, handcuffed, and taken to a police station, presumably by Officer Richard Cranston, in an incident last October. Both women are seeking damages, costs, and legal fees in their lawsuit. A police officer beat a 77-year-old Crockett, California man who was out for his morning walk on Saturday. According to the Contra Costa Times, the man was jumped by a police officer, Jeremy Patzer, violently enough to cause the man a sprained wrist, swollen lip, and a wound requiring 6 stitches above his left eye. Police say the officer tackled the man after he refused their order to stop. The man says he never heard the order and in any case had done nothing to warrant any police attention. The man, who was still recovering from surgery he had in January, plans to sue the police. The chief of police in Roseland, Indiana, was charged with theft, obstruction of justice, and official misconduct last Saturday. An account in the South Bend Tribune says that Chief D. Michael Swanson was accused of stealing $10,000 during a drug raid in 2001. He offered to share the cash with one of his fellow officers, who then reported him to the Indiana State Police. He's facing a possible 7 years in prison if convicted on all charges. An inquest has been ordered into the death of a Manitoba psychiatric patient who died after being handcuffed by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. According to a broadcast news report, the police were called after a patient at a psychiatric facility returned intoxicated after an afternoon pass on September 2nd. Police handcuffed the man when he became combative, and a short time later the man was discovered not breathing. Attempts to revive him were not successful. The time and location of the inquest have not been decided yet. A police officer in Seattle has been accused of breaking into a garage to recover property which he believed had been stolen from a neighbor. The Seattle Times claims that the man who the officer recovered the property for told his story to the FBI as part of a 4-year investigation into the Seattle Police Department. Officer John Powers broke into the garage through a window without a search warrant and out of uniform to recover the property while the owner of the property waited outside. Powers has not been charged with a crime yet. The former police chief in Rankin, Pennsylvania, has been accused of trying to eat a receipt that was being used as evidence against him in court. According to Associated Press, the chief, Daryl Briston, attempted to eat the receipt at a hearing last Thursday, where he was appearing after being charged with theft and lying to investigators. Briston also scuffled with a state trooper who tried to prevent him from eating the receipt. He's now facing additional charges of assault and tampering with evidence. Briston had already been convicted of theft in an unrelated case last year. In the past, Briston has denied all charges against him.
During the physical altercation, Ramirez did grab the deputy's baton. At that point, the physical altercation still continued, and the officer deployed their pepper spray, spraying Ramirez, and at that time, he complied with the orders from the deputy. He was handcuffed, placed under arrest.
He is very well respected as a councilman.
A city councilor in Coachella, California, says that he was beaten by a Riverside County Sheriff's deputy last week for no reason. The Palm Springs Desert Sun reports that the councilor gave a press conference on Friday where he and his lawyer gave their side of the story. Sheriff's officials say that the councilor became involved in a fight with a deputy, but the councilor's lawyer says that he did not resist the deputy in any way except to try to prevent her from beating him with a baton after he objected to her towing a vehicle he was driving. The victim's hand was broken in 3 places by the deputy, he says, after the deputy had subdued him. A police officer in Hellam, Pennsylvania, has been charged for falsifying vehicle inspection records. An article in the York Dispatch says that Officer Scott Dolinger filled out paperwork relating to mandatory vehicle inspection duties, in which he stated that the inspections were done after he is known to have been at another location. Dollinger was fired in April 2004, and this week he was charged with tampering with public records, obstructing the administration of law, and making false statements to authorities. A state police investigation led to the charges. A Saratoga County, New York, sheriff's deputy has been fired for falling asleep on the job. A report from Capital 9 News says that Deputy Patricia Alfieri was guarding an inmate at a local hospital when she fell asleep after taking off her gun belt. She was fired last Thursday. Next up, a review of this week's Taser News.
It served also as a way for us to look internally and just to do a check, which we're doing. And I think it's been very beneficial. It allows for us to police in a more humane way. Clearly, we believe that our use, we've been able to save 6 lives since we've instituted the tasers here.
In my opinion, the taser has saved the town tens of thousands of dollars.
A report says that as many as 24 students in Central Florida have been shocked by a taser in the past 18 months, including a 12-year-old who was in handcuffs when he was shoced. Parents of children attending schools where police carry tasers are outraged given recent concerns about the safety of the devices. The fact that 7 people have died in Central Florida after being shocked with tasers is no doubt also a source of concern. Police stand behind their use of tasers in the schools and repeat the company's disputed claims about the safety of the weapons. The trial of an Orange County, Florida sheriff's deputy who was accused of torturing a 14-year-old boy with a taser in August 2003 is currently underway. The lawsuit, which seeks monetary damages, was filed on the boy's behalf by his mother. A complaint about the use of a taser has resulted in criminal charges being filed against 2 police officers in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Constables Mark Galloway and John Hope have both been suspended with pay and are each facing 1 charge of assault and 1 charge of assault with a weapon. A professor at the University of Wisconsin plans to test stun guns on pigs in order to prove his theory that tasers do not kill people and that deaths from the devices are actually due to other factors. Animal rights activists are outraged after learning of the tests, which are funded by a $500,000 grant from the U.S. Justice Department. 2 of the 3 groups of pigs in the study will be given cocaine. One of those will be shocked by a stun gun that is 30 times more powerful than the one in use by police. Taser International, the largest North American stun gun manufacturer, issued a statement welcoming the study. Taser, which claims their stun guns are not responsible for any deaths, has had the weapons tested on dogs, bulls, and pigs since 1989, but no studies of the effects of the weapon on humans has ever been conducted. We'll have more on the University of Wisconsin study coming up later in this program. This week, it was revealed that a city councilor in Phoenix, Arizona, who pushed to have all Phoenix police officers armed with tasers, was paid by Taser International to help sell the weapons. The company admits to hiring many police officers as consultants, but says that this is the only case where a city councilor was paid as a taser consultant. The potential for conflicts of interest is only part of the problem with the company's hiring of active duty officers. The company relies on the officers to bolster safety claims made by the company about their products, claims that are openly being called into question by many coroners, police departments, activists, and researchers across North America. Police in Anchorage, Alaska, along with Alaska State Troopers, plan to purchase more and newer tasers than those already in use. Police in Wichita and Sedgwick County, Kansas, also have plans to introduce tasers to their arsenal. A bill has been introduced in California which would require police agencies using tasers to track details of its use and deliver them to the state justice department. The bill would also limit use of stun guns to law enforcement officers. We'll have more on tasers in just a minute. Other than the killings already mentioned in this program, police also killed people this week in Caseyville, Illinois, Columbus, Indiana, Lexington, Kentucky, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Kansas City, Missouri, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and New Orleans, Louisiana. I spoke earlier with Chris Ford, a research associate with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, about a planned study by Professor John Webster at University of Wisconsin, which will test stun guns on pigs. The animals will be given powerful electric shocks and large amounts of cocaine to determine if their hearts are affected by the tasers or by some other factor. I reached Chris Ford in Washington, D.C.
Basically, Dr. Webster plans to take 30 pigs. He's going to induce them with cocaine and then taser them to determine whether or not tasers are safe to use on people. After he's done tasering and giving the pigs cocaine, then he's going to kill them and perform autopsies on them.
How does this answer questions about tasers exactly?
You know, that's a really good question. We're not exactly sure. You know, there's a lot of differences between humans and pigs. And in fact, a similar experiment like this has already been done at least on four separate occasions. So on every occasion, you know, the experimenters found that tasers were safe to use on pigs. The problem is that, you know, there's 103 people who passed away after being tasered, which shows that tasers aren't necessarily, you know, safe to use on humans.
It sounds like what Dr. Webster is out to do is prove something regarding skin effect that has already been seriously disputed by other researchers. Do you know about the science behind this?
I know a little bit about it. Basically, what Dr. Webster is trying to prove is that tasers do not affect the heart, that they only affect... that it affects the skin and that it affects the skeletal system of people, but it does not affect the heart and that it does not affect the brain, I believe, is what he's also trying to prove. So that would go to show that, you know, the people that have died after being tasered, that their deaths were not a direct result of tasers, especially the ones that died of suffering of a heart arrhythmia. So I should point out that Dr. Webster does already think that tasers are safe to use on people. So what he's planning to do with this experiment is just to prove his own conclusions that tasers are safe.
He is supported in this research, I'm guessing by what you just said, that it's because he agrees with tasers' argument that he's being supported at least... in words by the company, although I understand they're not the people who are paying for this study?
No. Dr. Webster, the study is being paid for by the Department of Justice. So, but yes, you are correct in the fact that Taser has more than welcomed Dr. Webster's studies, and they, you know, have stated that they believe that Dr. Webster's study is going to prove that tasers are safe to use on people. So, you know, it's also... interesting that the Department of Justice is funding the study. It's $500,000 that the study is costing the Department of Justice and U.S. taxpayers. The Department of Justice also believes that tasers are safe to use on people.
My understanding was that the U.S. Department of Justice was engaged in their own research around the safety of tasers due to some concerns that have been raised by, I guess, various police departments and other researchers. Is there any other work that they're doing?
Yeah, there are a couple other studies that are taking place. The Department of Justice has actually put out a call for proposals for others to study the safety effects of tasers and other so-called less lethal weapons. Sorry about that. There's another study that's taking place at Wake Forest where they're going to rely on police department results to determine whether or not the safety standards have been met for tasers. So basically what's going to happen is various police departments from across the country, I think they're using 12, are going to provide Wake Forest researchers with the results of their own taser studies. And then so Wake Forest is going to put these results together and determine whether or not they think that tasers are safe.
With Dr. Webster's study, I know that there's been some reaction already from his fellow faculty members. Would you like to tell us a bit about that?
Sure. One of Dr. Webster's colleagues, in fact, has decided that she will no longer participate in a study that joint study that she and Dr. Webster were going to do together. The study had nothing to do with tasers and was actually going to be a clinical study on human patients. But, you know, this colleague of Dr. Webster has decided that, you know, she cannot participate in this any longer because of Dr. Webster's experimentation on animals and because of the atrocious experiments that he's been doing, this one in particular. She feels that there's absolutely no reason for it, so she has decided to go ahead and not have anything to do with Dr. Webster any longer, which we definitely applaud her for.
How have the students at the university been about this? Has there been any opinion expressed at all?
Yeah, there actually has been quite a bit of opinion expressed about this experiment. And in fact, on April 6th, the Madison Coalition for Animal Rights, the local University of Wisconsin-Madison animal rights organization, is going to be holding a demonstration to protest Dr. Webster's experiments. So there has been quite a bit of student outcry. There's also been, you know, a number of letters to the editor written. And in fact, PETA, we've received a number of emails and phone calls from students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison asking what they can do to stop these experiments.
And what have you been telling them? What have you been, how has PETA been mobilizing against this study?
Well, one of the things that we have been telling them is, you know, we're encouraging them to hold a protest, a demonstration on April 6th, as well as contact the university and tell them, you know, express their outrage with the chancellor of the university and with Dr. Webster himself, that, you know, University of Wisconsin students do not like to be associated with this type of inexcusable research, and to immediately to have the University of Wisconsin stop these experiments.
$500,000 sounds like an awful lot of money to be spending on massacring 30 animals.
Yes.
Do you know what they're spending the money on?
Well, I know, you know, well, besides the cocaine, I know that one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to be implanting the taser. You know, when you shoot a taser, the two prongs shoot out at you. Well, what they're going to be doing with these pigs is they're actually going to implant the prongs into the pig's heart muscles. So it will be a direct hit to the pig's heart. So that's going to be some of what they're going to be doing. I know that the pigs will be, there's going to be autopsy on the pigs after, after the study is completed to try to look for any other damage, which I'm guessing they're not going to find. But, you know, basically, yeah, it's a lot of money for, I don't know what exactly they're going to be doing. And in fact, in PETA's, we are going to request a copy of the study protocols. Because this just seems too outrageous for anybody to be doing. So PETA wants to take a look at the protocol to see exactly what's going to be going on.
Well, there has to be a question of ethical standards, I guess, at the university level when professors are doing this kind of research. Has this never come up before?
You know, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. You know, at least not at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We are actually questioning the ethical standards of the university and of the Animal Use and Care Committee, because it's obvious, you know, these studies have taken place before on at least four separate occasions. There has been no real need for these studies proven because they have taken place before, and also because there are numerous alternatives to these studies. And in fact, PETA, along with a host of experts, advocates studies investigating the autopsy reports and medical records people have died of as a result of being tasered. We think that those studies would garner a lot more information about the safety of tasers than, you know, the studies being used on pigs. So, yeah, we definitely take issue with the ethical considerations that have either been looked into or not looked into when the Animal Care and Use Committee was approving these studies.
There's also talk, besides filling the animals up with cocaine and shooting them with 50,000 volts, there's also something that's been described as a super taser, which I've read is something on the order of 30 times more powerful than the tasers used by police officers. Do you know what the purpose of that is?
Yeah, Dr. Webster wants to try his hardest to induce heart arrhythmia into the pigs. So he's going to use these super tasers to see if he can do just that. You know, like I've said, in the previous studies, they were unable to produce the heart arrhythmia in the pigs. So what Dr. Webster wants to do is he wants to see at what point this can actually take place. Now, I should point out that, you know, people who have died as a result of being tasered have suffered heart arrhythmias. So, you know, this is something that even, you know, the power wattage that the tasers are used on the street can be produced in humans. Yet, for some reason, you know, it's going to take a super taser in order to produce this type of condition in a pig. So that's, you know, right there kind of proves to us that, you know, the studies, the fact that these studies are being done on pigs does not necessarily translate that the studies are also going to translate for humans. To be honest with you, it definitely doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, I can't believe that they have decided to go ahead and up the power of these tasers. You know, especially at this time, you know, when more and more people are dying every day, every month. I think the number of deaths in the past year have doubled from people who've been tasered, and, you know, it's looking like that number is just going higher and higher.
Have you had any response either from the university or from third parties who may support your position on this study?
Actually, we did have, we received a letter from the university saying basically that, well, why they, you know, agree that we have the right to our opinion, that they think the study is absolutely necessary and that they're going to move forward with it. It's actually from the chancellor's office. I've received probably, I received more support for our position on this particular issue than I have in any other in at my time at PETA. We do have a number of people that are coming out supporting our position. And in fact, I just spoke with a former Justice Department attorney this afternoon who wanted to find out more information. He was going ahead and contacting the U.S. Justice Department and telling him that he opposed these experiments. But yes, we've received a lot of support. Even I also need to mention that we've even had support from police officers in Canada saying that they oppose these taser studies at the University of Wisconsin. There was a police officer, she was, gosh, I can't remember, she was from Ontario, but I can't remember which town it was. It wasn't Toronto, but it was another town, I think it was a suburb of Toronto. But yeah, she said that, you know, well, why she thinks that, you know, tasers are safe to use, she does, you know, oppose these experiments. So.
Oh, interesting. Because
yeah, I thought so too. Another thing that she also said, and it's something that PETA is going to be doing, is she wants the Canadian, I don't know exactly what the group is called, but the Canadian Police Department organization that checks out different technologies that Canadian police will use. She wants that organization to take a stand against animal experimentation. Yeah, I was definitely surprised with that. And then, you know, also the former Justice Department employee who came out against it as well. That one kind of shocked me.
Is it possible that you'll be able to mount a legal challenge in the courts? Is that something you've considered doing to stop the study?
It isn't something that we've considered yet, but, you know, we're going after this one. So, you know, we're still looking at all of our options.
When does the study begin, do you know?
We know it's supposed to take place within the next month. We don't know an exact date. I don't think Webster's really giving anybody an exact date, but within the next month. So we are running out of time.
That's all for this week. Tune into this station for more next week. Send comments and story ideas to ron@ckln.fm. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich. Each week we end Bad Cop No Donut with a song. This week it's Apple Pie and Police State by Choking Victim.
What the fuck, yeah.